Good evening. This week, Parshas Devarim, we begin the new Chumash, and it's a new Chumash for one simple reason, not for one simple reason, but up until now, from Bereshis through Bamidbar, we see that it was God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, talking through the throat of Moshe. Everything that Moshe repeated up to this point in time was God putting words into his mouth. It says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, whenever it says it, that is God gave him a prepared text, the speech. Lemor, this is what you say. As I said at the beginning of Shemos, Moshe complained, Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon Anochi, I'm not a speaker, I'm not a good speech writer. God said, then I'll give you speeches and you repeat it. At this point in time, after 40 years, Moshe had grown to the point where God told him, I'm giving you license to talk to Klal Yisrael in your own words. Perhaps you could make them see sense. Because let's face it, the 40 years are almost completely up. They're in their 40th year. And when we begin the Sefer Devarim, Ela HaDevarim, it's the last month. The whole Sefer Devarim is the last month of Moshe's life, and which is very interesting. And the parsha begins, Ela hadvorim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael b'ever hayardein b'eretz Moav, and so on and so forth, ha'wil Moshe. But the interesting part is, what is the point of saying, Vayedaber Ela hadvorim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael? We have to dissect that pasuk as any good lawyer, which the Torah teaches us. Ela hadvorim asher diber Moshe. The Torah wants us to know, God wants us to know, as I just said, the first four books of the Torah through Bamidbar were God's words that Moshe transcribed and dictated to Klal Yisrael. At this point in time, Ela hadvorim asher diber Moshe. From now on, it's Moshe speaking with Nevuah. Of course, the Nevuah that God blessed him with, this level of Nevuah. He was the greatest Navi of all time, obviously. And God, as he's now speaking, as any Navi would speak, and he wasn't having, for 38 years, there was no direct communication. When we said before, B'chalom adaber bo, Yilalo chen avdi Moshe, now it's not B'hokitz. God is now talking, not through the throat of Moshe. He has visitations from God and to give him information. And now Moshe is using his own intellect to speak to Klal Yisrael. What is the next few words? Asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. There's a tendency to say a lot of times, if you get a test and somebody says, oh, I missed that day in class. I wasn't there. I didn't know. Or I was out shopping. I didn't hear what you said. Moshe spoke and I didn't hear it. Perhaps I shouldn't be held accountable because I didn't hear it. And the Torah is telling us again, Ela advorim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. I'm saying Eidus. The Torah is saying now, I spoke to everybody. Everybody heard me. There's no one that's not responsible for what I'm going to say. Everybody is available to listen. The question is now, whatever you don't pay attention to, it's because you chose not to do it, and you will be responsible for everything I say from this point on, just like the other things that I told you beforehand. But now he's dealing with, basically, we have to remember, we've cleaned out all the riffraff. Everybody that will pass away in the Midbar have already died. This is the basic background to what we need to express today. We now see that all of the people that are alive today, as I mentioned last week, when the parsha begins, next week's parsha, when we say, V'yatem ad veikim b'shem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom, that everybody, as I said, you have all made the cut. From now on, everybody who is alive today will be the ones that will enter the land of Israel. You could go to sleep in peace. You're all going in healthy, wealthy, and wise, and now you're ready to go in. I just want to repeat and go over certain things. But beforehand, I need to tell you, Moshe is saying, Acharos yom mechorev. Very interesting choice of phrase. We get into a lot of times, again, with dating things or what's the point of mentioning certain numbers. Acharos yom mechorev derech har seir ad kodesh banea. Do you see, from the time that we left Har Sinai until this point in time, 40 years later, how long should it or could it have taken to get to this point where we're about to cross the Yarden? They've made the last of their masos, the last of their journeys in the wilderness has come to a close. They are now in their last stop before they cross the Jordan River. And Moshe says to them, Acharos yom mechorev. This journey was in truth only an 11-day journey. Unfortunately, b'yashtei osor chodesh b'yachod lachodesh. It took us 38 years from the time we left Har Sinai until this point, added on another 38 years. Could have taken 11 days. All you had to do was pay attention and listen and do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and we would have been here 38 years ago. And then he continues, and he starts to mention things as we, the Chazal tell us, B'derech Remiza, the Lavan, the Chatzeros, V'di Zahav. And the Torah tells us, what does that mean? The Chazal tell us, what is Moshe saying? The Lavan, the Chatzeros, V'di Zahav. The Lavan, the Chatzeros was a reference to the Meraglim. V'di Zahav was a reference to the Egel. Of course, the Meraglim came after the Egel, so the Gemara asked the question, why should I mention the Meraglim before the Egel? That's sort of a side issue, but nevertheless, it's something that we should pay attention to, because basically, most of the parasha focuses on the Chet HaMeraglim. The question that we may ask, that even though he says it, although he mentions it to them, and he warns them about all the pitfalls that they came about in the last 40 years that caused them to drag their feet and take them the extra 38 years, was due to the Chet HaMeraglim. And he tells them that. But he tells it to them in a very strange way. He says, you came to me, basically, B'nai Yisrael came to me, you sent messengers, they came before Moshe, and they said, we would like to send people, messengers into the land of Israel, send our own people to spy out the land. Is that really what happened? Absolutely not. Why is Moshe now, he's saying that, he's telling Klal Yisrael at this point that the reason I'm not going into the land of Israel is Gambi Hisanaf Hashem Biglalchem Lemor Gamatolo Savosham, you, because of the Chet HaMeraglim which you brought upon yourselves, caused me, because of what happened, now your sin caused me not to be your leader into the land of Israel. Had this not happened, this is not anything to do with them. Why would these people, we're dealing with these people now, who the new generation were, most of them were not even around at the Chet HaEgel, and they certainly were not responsible for it, because if anything, they were babies. They were youngsters. And then even at the Chet HaMeraglim, a year later, they were also not responsible. So why is seemingly is so incomprehensible why he would remind them of their past mistakes if they weren't involved? Imagine if, you know, you're going someplace and your parents had done something wrong, and somebody starts to give you tochacha about, you know, be careful, you know, I'm telling you all the things that you did wrong. And you say, why are you telling me? I didn't do anything. I was under 20 years old and not responsible for for anything that happened before I'm 20. I started at 20. I begin with a clean slate. That's how we know basically that until you're 20, you're not responsible for your actions in terms of course, you're responsible at your bar mitzvah. But until you're 20, God is willing to give you a pass. And that is where we learn from Miben Esrim Shana V'mala, from 20 years and up, you're responsible for your sins. And now, so why should Moshe berate them and tell them all these things? Well, perhaps on one hand, the reason he's reminding them of all these missteps is he's only doing it b'derech remiza. He's not, so to speak, hitting them over the head with it initially when he says v'lavam v'chatzeros v'dizahav. But he's telling them now, you, since you are the survivors, and I know what happens is, if you are the survivors, what is the temptation for people who came through as survivors? We know that, for instance, the people who survived the Holocaust, there were families that were totally wiped out. And then there were some families who had one or two members survive. Some families were unbelievably left untouched, but most families had some losses in the family. And those that survived are the ones that, for whatever reason, we can't figure out how, and that leaves us a big problem. And of course, many people have survivor's guilt, but they run into the problem of, why am I here? And God wants to tell them, you survive because you are the best of what we have to offer now. And I'm entrusting you to repopulate the land, to go into the land of Eretz Israel and begin a new nation. It's a wonderful thing. But we see what happens, that there were many people, obviously after the Holocaust, not to judge anybody because we can't put themselves in their places, the same way that most all of these people, they lost their parents when they were young through many different missteps, whether they were the Meraglim or the Chet Korach or the Egel or from the Slav or from the Maaseh Zimri. All of these things, all of these people lost great many family members. And there's a great temptation to blame God for many things. And God is trying to impart to them that you are the future of Klal Yisrael. And I need you to hold fast. And Moshe understands this innately. He realizes this. And therefore, he sets out to tell them, I know that you think, don't think that you are so great that since you are the survivors, that you will not make the same mistakes as your forefathers did. Because don't forget what you did not experience, and your forefathers, they saw the splitting of the sea. They saw, they witnessed the Makos. You would think they saw Matan Torah when the sky opened up. And they had all of these signs from God. They were witness to such nisim v'niflaos. And they still fell by the wayside. They still made all these fantastic mistakes. Don't think that it cannot happen to you. I am warning you, not because you have done anything wrong. You are, all of you people are guiltless. And why you are not responsible, you personally are not responsible for mine not going into the land. But I need to warn you of all the pitfalls of what happened. And we see what happened after the Holocaust is too, that so many people, while it actually strengthened the belief, and many people who survived thought, why should I be the one who survived? And they rededicated their lives to God to build Klal Yisrael and have large families to repopulate the nation. But then again, even those people who saw, certainly at the end, the survivors, could certainly the real survivors who ended up surviving all of the trials and tribulations that they went through, instead of harping on the nisim v'niflaos, they rejected Yiddishkeit through no fault of their own. But that is the tendency. And Moshe understood that if he told them the truth, that the reality of the whole scenario of the Maaseh Meraglim, which caused them to languish in the Midbar the extra 38 years, And the parsha begins, Shalach Lecha Anoshim. The people did not come to Moshe to ask him. The parsha is very clear, and it says, Shalach Lecha Anoshim. God says to Moshe, tell them to send their own emissaries, to send the Meraglim into the land and let them see all the things of Eretz Yisrael so they have the ability to witness the land that they're going to inherit. And then, unfortunately, Moshe adds on all the other things that they are going to be, tell them what to do, Hechazok hu, Harafeh, are they a strong people, Habamachanim, Mivzorim, are they walled cities, are they not walled cities, if Hashmenahi, Imrozah, is the vegetation, is the plant life able to sustain great people? What kind of people living there? And they immediately see Bnei Anok, Visham Achimon, Sheshai, V'Talmai, all these things they witness, and they're overcome with a tremendous sense of dread. How could we possibly conquer this land? And Moshe was afraid, if I put it to them this way, they'll say, oh, all of our family members that we lost, all of these many thousands, adding up all the numbers of the people that were killed because we languished in the Midbar for the extra because of the Chet HaMeraglim, it's Moshe, it's your fault and God's fault because he told us, Shalach Lecha Anoshim, and it's God's fault. And now they're going to be like these people who survived the Holocaust and reject Yiddishkeit afterwards. And Moshe is keenly aware of this pitfall. And so he gives them a different, he tells them that they came to me, that they came to me, your parents came to me and asked me to send. And now the report, they came back. Moshe added on all these things that God told them. He wanted them. His purpose was to make them appreciate the godliness of Hashem Yisbarach, that these people who had witnessed the splitting of the sea, the Ten Makos in Mitzrayim, and all the glories of Matan Torah when the heaven opens up and they experience God in a very personal level like nobody has since in the world. And now, after all of that, they go, and God wanted them to experience all the great nisyonos that it will be what God wanted them to see and appreciate. This is the land that I'm giving you. This is the land that you will conquer with no problems. So, Habamachanim Mivzorim, even if they are all walled cities and it looks impossible, they look impregnable, that I could never overcome this. This is what God has promised you, Asher Anino Sein Livnei Israel. This is the land that I have in effect given you. You will get it, amazing as it may seem. Don't worry about it. It's all in your hands. Just like last week when I gave you in the parsha and I said, Elef Lamateh, I'm trying to build your confidence, and I wanted your forefathers, I wanted your parents and grandparents to appreciate the greatness of God, even though it seems like a tremendous task to overcome this land with these great nations that are living in the land. It would seem impossible for us to conquer. But in the, when God is on your side, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And Moshe wanted them to understand that. But if he told them this truth straight as it was, so while this is revisionist telling the story, the purpose is that Moshe knew that if he told it to them straight, which God could never do that way, Moshe explained it to them in such a fashion that they would understand that it was their own fault, that they did, they took the bait in the wrong way. And they looked at it and did not appreciate the power of God. Mi bilti yecholes Hashem lohavies o'amazeh el'ores Hashem osati lohem. The mistake is God is saying, you think that God can't accomplish asher nosati. It's the land that I have already given them. It's a done deal. They did not understand that they were looking at what they saw as reality. And when God is on our side, there is no reality. The reality is that we've put our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see what's going, we can accomplish anything. We see what's going on in the world today. And we are left with, we daven every day and we say, Al tiftachu benedivim beven adam she'en lo seshua. We go through elections, we go through so many cycles of different leaders, and we try to make pacts with people. The only one that we can rely on is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we see the continued, how many people would have thought 75 years ago that with all the things that we've undergone, all the trials and tribulations, we thought when we got the state, it would be, so to speak, seemingly clear sailing, or certainly not all the trials and tribulations that we've been through with one war after another, but we survive each time and we come through it. And each time, as we see now, instead of weakening, Eretz Yisrael grows stronger with each battle. The emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu grows greater and greater. And we see, as in 2 weeks, my son, my youngest son and his family are making Aliyah along with so many of his friends, and 11 plane loads, as I might have mentioned before, this summer, 11 plane loads of Jews are making Aliyah. One would think that under these circumstances, they would try to put it off until things seemingly quiet down. But this has drawn so many people, a few thousand people, who are making Aliyah under the greatest of stress and the greatest of times of trouble that we appear to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world can't understand, but they can't understand that our strength is our belief and bitachon, emuna, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May that emuna continue to grow and that we will be successful in the coming year. Thank you and have a good evening.
Rabbi, may you and Rebbetzin Rivka and the family be blessed. If you would be so kind as to tell her, I would love to see her next Wednesday. Michal's going to be in person at the Ohel building.
All right, I'll mention it to her. Okay.
Thank you so much for an inspiring shir. All your prayers should reach a kisei kavod.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good
day. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.